Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
5 o'clock Friday. You know what that means, people. That means we get to talk Cleveland Browns football with Scotty Petrak, BrownZone.com. Big rivalry week this week. Obviously, we're going to talk Northwestern Illinois. Wait a minute. Not Northwestern Illinois. We want to talk about the Browns and the Ravens. Scotty, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great, man.
Scotty, is that the rivalry for Northwestern? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it is.
Of course.
Illinois, they play for the Land of Lincoln Trophy, I want to say.
Okay, so how does that rank up to the barge that the Browns won last week in the Great Lakes Classic?
Wow, that's a high bar to clear there, Kenny. Probably even standing, yeah.
Okay, all right, even Steven on that one. Thanks for making time for us. Hope you had a good holiday, even though you had to work and everything. Scotty, give us the latest on the injury report. Who's in? Hopefully, who's out for sure for Sunday's game from the Browns standpoint against the Ravens in the Crab Shack?
This is as healthy as the Browns have been in a long time. Kareem Hunt and Jack Conklin will be activated from injured reserve tomorrow, and both will play. Both look like their old selves, according to the coaches. Baker Mayfield has been a full participant the last 2 days, and the coaches are optimistic that he's turned a corner from an injury standpoint. The only guy that's out for sure is Anthony Schwartz, the receiver. He's still in concussion protocol, will miss his second game. And then the two questionables are receiver Donovan Peoples-Jones, who did more this Friday than last Friday. Still isn't guaranteed to play, but I would say it's, you know, better than 50-50 shot. And then Troy Hill, the nickelback, who they're optimistic that he plays. He still might not go back to that role of every down nickelback. You might see Greg Newsom still there and Greedy Williams play on the outside. Hill's injury looked scary a couple of weeks ago, and the fact that he was able to practice is a real good sign.
Scotty, if I'm running an offense opposing team, is the recipe to beat the Browns to let our defensive ends rush up the field and just go right around them?
That's interesting. I think it depends who your quarterback is. You know, I know against Lamar Jackson in the past, the Browns have been conservative from a rushing standpoint and try not to get too far up the field so he doesn't, you know, take that hold that is vacated. You know, and I think Myles Garrett has been less aggressive against Lamar Jackson, which makes sense, right? You can't afford for him to get out, you know, find that edge and find that gap and be gone with you too far up the field. I think there's something to be said for what you're saying. You know, a lot depends on how your tackles are playing. A lot depends on your linebackers. I'm not sure that's been the biggest problem for the Browns rush this year.
So if we look at it, if that's not the way to attack this defense, the other thing that comes to mind is, do we have anybody, and this is why we got these guys in free agency or drafted them, we're not really good against a tight end, and they've got one of the best in the league in Mark Andrews. Who's going to guard that guy, and do we have a guy to shadow him and or Lamar Jackson?
Well, Lamar Jackson, I think you'll see a decent amount of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. You know, I don't know if they'll do a full spy. I think that's hard to do in this league. But I would think that JOK will have some Lamar Jackson responsibility. Maybe on third down, you know, when they go nickel and dime. Okay, don't let this guy beat us with the scramble or the quarterback draw. The tight end's tricky, you know, and I asked somebody about that this week, one of the coaches, just why it's so hard to cover tight ends. Cause it's not just Mark Andrews, right? And it's not just the Browns struggle across the league. You know, you saw Dallas's tight end get open a lot yesterday against the Raiders. And it's just a tough position because it was Kevin Stefanski who I asked, and he said it always feels like they're open, because they're so big compared to the safety that's trying to guard them, or even the linebackers trying to guard them, that the quarterback feels he can just throw it to him because he's physically can separate or can body up So it's an easier throw for the quarterback. And you see that definitely with Mark Andrews. Lamar Jackson looks his way a bunch. He's had good success against the Browns. Now, how they counter, you know, we've seen Malcolm Smith try to cover a lot of tight ends starting week one against Kelsey. Hasn't had a ton of success, in my opinion, but it seems to me the Browns feel like he's their best option. I think you could also see a little bit of Grant Delpit and Ronnie Harrison, your two safeties, try to match up with him in certain packages. But it's going to be tough. I think you almost go in thinking, okay, Andrews is going to get his catches. You just can't let anybody else beat you.
Scotty Petrak, our guest, he checks in always on Fridays at 5 o'clock from brownzone.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Scott Petrak. Browns beat reporter, does a fabulous job. Hear him on podcasts all over the place. See him on Sunday night with Nick Camino and everything like that. So if you want somebody that's got the pulse of this team, Scotty's the guy. And, again, brownzone.com is where you need to go and follow him for every day, every up-to-the-minute bits of information on the Cleveland Browns. I want to go back to Baker Mayfield. Didn't go Wednesday, yesterday and today. Alex Van Pelt talked about him. Today I heard Stefanski not say much about him. What can you make of this week's practice with Baker Mayfield getting an extra day off maybe on Wednesday and supposedly, Scotty, being as healthy or feeling as healthy as he's felt in weeks?
I think it's a real good sign that he was a full participant Thursday and Friday. It felt like he could have gone Wednesday, but whether it's he or the team said, hey, let's give him the whole day off. Let's let those lower body injuries heal up, you know, a little bit more, an extra 24 hours. And then he was full go the last 2 days. Van Pelt said he wasn't sure he had an incompletion in Thursday's practice. The coaches like how he's moving around. And it's interesting because, you know, you see that Lions game, right? And Baker went down a couple of times and he gets up limping and people are saying, why is he even playing? But then there were also plays where he scrambled, and that's the first time we'd seen that in a couple of weeks where he felt good enough to scramble. And that was a sign to Stefanski that yes, he's moving in the right direction. Now, you know, he had a groin injury that showed up on the injury report this week. They don't think it's cause for concern, and they feel like he, and Baker does too, that he is getting better, that the leg injuries are improving to the point where he can start to make a few more plays with his feet. And that's so important for Baker, right? Because he's not the best just standing in the pocket and dropping back. He's better on the move. He's better when he can add that scramble threat and maybe get a first down or two, right? And that can be the difference in a game. If you're struggling on third down and your quarterback can scramble and convert one of those, that's huge. So there's a sense of optimism that he's turned the corner as far as those injuries.
All right, let's say, though, Scotty, game comes, he takes a hit, and he's struggling. Do you think this week, if he struggles, because the importance of this game, right, do you think this week that there might be a shorter leash on him and that Stefanski could go to Case Keenum if he continues to struggle with his accuracy throughout the game against Baltimore, at least in the first half?
I just don't get that sense, Kenny. I understand the question, and I understand the thought behind it. And he's coming off his two worst games of the season, right? Barely above 50% the last two games. But I just have not gotten any sense that the coaches were close to pulling Baker, close to thinking about starting Case Keenum instead of Baker. And we can argue whether or not that's the right thought to have, but I just haven't seen any inclination. So I think Baker would have to be pretty bad for the Browns to make that move. Now, you're right about if you're going to make it, this is a big game, right? I can't remember a bigger game during the regular season. It feels like if the Browns don't win this, the season's not over, but, you know, it's hanging by a thread. So maybe that would be the impetus that they need. But I don't think they go into the game thinking, okay, if he struggles early, we're making a move. I think they go into the game thinking Baker's going to play better and Baker gives us the best chance to win.
Scott Petrak with BrownZone.com. Scotty, I went over to the webpage today and I was looking at some of the articles and I wanted to read the one about Drew Brees, but I didn't get to it because I spent too much time on the injury report on both sides of it. But what is Drew Brees, how does he compare playing injured to what we're seeing with Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because, you know, you watch Baker, especially that Lions game, and he made some really good throws.
Yes.
But then he was badly missed others, including that first interception, right? He's high and wide of Jarvis Landry. It's a a good play call. He comes wide open, and he just misses him by a mile, and it's an interception. Could be a big play in the game. So then he makes some good ones. So I wonder where that inconsistency comes from. And we've seen Baker be inconsistent in the past, even when he was healthy. So for me, it's really difficult to find out how much is injuries, how much is it just Baker. And Drew Brees, you know, played 20 years, played through injuries, said he's had a lot of the same things Baker's had. He said, yeah, those injuries do affect how you throw the ball. And he wasn't even talking as much about the leg injuries that Baker's had lately, but even the left shoulder, right? You put it in the harness, you practice with it, you just live, you know, Baker says it's his new normal. But Brees said when Baker came back from that, the fracture against Arizona, right, when he missed the Broncos game and then came back, he said he watched him in warm-up and said he doesn't look the same. You can tell that his throwing motion is different. And as a quarterback, that's just really tough to do. So I guess the point is that Brees thinks that those injuries haven't had an effect on Baker's accuracy, right? So it is an impact. So when we look at Baker's season, we have to take that in consideration. But I also think it's important that Brees said, but you got to go figure out a way to win, right? So even if you don't have your A game, and even if you're not as accurate as you want to be, you have to figure out a way to go win the game. And Baker's done that at times this year, right? The Browns are 6-5. They're 5-5 with Baker. He played well enough in Cincinnati, and they found a way to win against Detroit, even with Baker not playing well. But then there's been games where he hasn't. So, obviously, Baltimore Sunday night's a huge game. And no matter if Baker's got injuries or not, no matter if they're getting better or not, he's got to find a way to make enough plays to get this team to score more than the, you know, 17 that's been kind of the threshold for them the last 6 or 8 weeks.
Maybe we find a way to win and maybe have to rely on our defense. A couple of weeks ago, Baltimore goes into Miami. The Dolphins, of all teams, comes away with a 22-10 win there. What does Joe Woods take from that victory? And is there maybe a crack in the armor, so to speak?
I'm fascinated by that comparison. And I asked the players about that this week. I asked Joe Woods about it this week. The Dolphins ran a bunch of cover zero blitzes, which just means there's no deep safety, right? So everybody's, you're not necessarily man-to-man, but if there's four receivers going out in the patterns and routes, there's four guys in coverage. Everybody else is at the line of scrimmage. Now, you don't always necessarily blitz. Sometimes you can drop in coverage and, you know, you confuse the quarterback, but a lot of times those guys blitz. And if you're blitzing that many guys, the offensive line can't pick it up. They just don't have enough numbers. It forces the quarterback to make quick decisions, get the ball out of his hands. Now, the risk is you make a completion, a guy misses a tackle, it's a touchdown, right? Or a guy gets behind the coverage, it's a touchdown. So, you know, there's pros and cons. And the question is, will the Browns try to adapt that when they haven't done it much this year? Cover zero is just not one of their go-to plays. I asked Joe Woods today. He said it's less than 10 times all season they've gone cover zero. So wow. I expect them to try it a couple of more times against Lamar Jackson than they normally would. But I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're just going to cut and paste what the Dolphins did, which means they have to figure out other ways to slow down Lamar Jackson and that Ravens offense.
Okay, then explain to me Johnny Johnson. When he was with the Rams, he's a strong safety, plays close to the line of scrimmage, makes a ton of tackles. What do we do? What does Joe Woods do with Johnny Johnson?
Well, you know what? I don't think it's fair to criticize Joe Woods on that one. I mean, they have Ronnie Harrison and Grant Delpert, who are more box safeties, more around-the-ball safeties than John Johnson the third is. I think of your three safeties, he's the best guy playing deep middle. Now, that doesn't mean he should always be there, and I understand he's made more plays lately when he's been close to the line of scrimmage. But when you're playing three, to me, he's the guy that should be back. And I'll say this, that, you know, John Johnson's been hot and cold this year. I like him as a locker room guy. He's a good talker. He's missed some tackles. I thought he took a real bad angle on that long touchdown run by DeAndre Swift last week. There's been other plays in that New England game where I was like, I didn't think he did a good job containing big plays. So I don't put that all on Joe Woods. I think he's, you know, trying to figure out ways to get John Johnson to make more plays. And I think he's done a decent job of that lately. But I think his best role in this lineup is playing that deep middle.
Scott Petrak, our guest via the Wake 'Em Way hotline here on the Kenny and JT Show, getting you ready for the Sunday night national televised game between the Baltimore Ravens hosting the Cleveland Browns. And Scotty, the passing game, Donovan Peoples-Jones, we don't know if he'll play or not. on Sunday night. But they are getting Kareem Hunt back, even though he's a running back, and Demetric Felton for the second straight week. How much do you think those guys could help the passing game this week against Baltimore?
Yeah, I think that's important, Kenny. I really do, and I think it can be overlooked. The role that Kareem Hunt specifically can play in the passing game. I mean, we know he's got 20 catches in the six games he's played, right? So it's more than three a game. And what it does is it gives Baker some easy completions, you know? So when you talk about, oh, he has, you know, 52% completion percentage the last two games, well, if you give him three a game to Kareem Hunt, that jumps up into the mid or high 50s, right? And yep. Even if he's not throwing it well, because those are easy completions for Baker. And once Hunt gets the ball in his hands, he can make guys miss, right? He can take a screen pass and go the distance. So I think it really brings an explosive element to the passing game, and I think it makes life a lot easier on Baker.
Scotty, when you look at this football team, we're 11 games in, 6-5. If they lose this, they fall back to .500 at 6-6 with 5 left. I'm calling it a must win because I don't think they can afford to lose the first one. And then they've got a week off to prepare for the second time they play Baltimore. But then again, if Baltimore beats them a second time, stick a fork in them, they're done. Are they viewing this as a must win, or are they not putting that much pressure on it?
I don't think they're putting that much pressure on it, Kenny. I've not heard the must win thrown out there. They know okay. It's important. You know, that before that Bengals game, there's a lot of talk about desperate, you know, backs against the wall. Haven't heard that as much this week. I don't think that changes anything about what you said. I think you're right on the money. And I think if they win this game, then you say, okay, then you can sweep the Ravens, right? You have the bye. They have to play the Steelers. Like, the whole outlook on this season changes if the Browns go into Baltimore and win Sunday night. And I don't think that's being, you know, dramatic or exaggerating. I really think that. And all of a sudden you think, okay, well, they sweep the Ravens. They're probably in first place in the division, and look out. So, you know, like I said, I don't want to go full must win just because they will have 5 games left and 6 losses does not eliminate you from the playoff chase.
Right.
But it's a huge game. I you can't really overstate the importance of this game.
All right, let's go in this direction then, Scott Petrak. These bye weeks. I mean, if there was ever a team that needed a bye week, it's the Cleveland Browns. But as you started out with, we might be the healthiest we've been in weeks, maybe since the start of the season. Isn't it senseless to have a bye week? And not that we don't need it, but isn't it senseless to have it this week? Week 13, shouldn't this thing be about 3 or 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, it's. I'm not going to argue with you there, JT. I think it's bizarre to spread them out this far. I'm not exactly sure why the league does it. My guess is it's got something to do with TV and just the amount of matchups you want to give the networks every week, right? So if you only have 2 teams off a week, it really increases, you know, your options from a TV perspective. It feels too late. Now, you know, if the Browns get on a run here and go to the playoffs, I think there's a chance you look back and say, hey, the fact that the bye came in December was great for the Browns, and it gives them a chance to be as healthy as they need to be going into the playoffs. And you talk about all you have to do is get hot at the right time. So I think there could be a silver lining to this.
Okay.
But I'm sure if you ask Kevin Stefanski, he would have preferred the bye to be about 3 weeks ago to calm things down and take a look at this, you know, take a look at some of the issues bothering the team that you really don't have time to fully examine when you're in the, you know, the heat of the season.
Jack Conklin coming back this week. Should we be prepared, though, for him to be what Jed Wills was maybe earlier in the season? And that's give it a go, start coming off a dislocated elbow, right? But have Blake Hance waiting in case Conklin can't finish the game.
No, I don't think so, Kenny. I don't view it like that. And the reason I say that is, first of all, you know, Wills is playing on a gimpy ankle. This is different. This is a matter of can you play with the dislocated elbow or not. And Conklin's got a big brace on, and he said he doesn't even need the brace. He could probably play without it. I think it's a good sign. He was all in when we talked to him. So, I think he's going to be full go, and that's a big upgrade. Not, you know, not that Blake Hance isn't trying, but Blake Hance is an interior lineman that they're asking to play right tackle. He's struggling in pass protection. And even if Conklin's not great, he's going to be an upgrade. And you need it against this Ravens blitz package that really brings pressure in a lot of different ways.
Scotty, this Ravens team is good, obviously. They're in first place, but they're not great. They've struggled to win so many games, but they find a way to win. The Browns have been in a lot of games. They find a way to lose. What do you think the difference is there?
I had three things. Number one, it's culture. I just think the fact that the Ravens have been so good for so long, have an established winning tradition, have a big-time coach in John Harbaugh. I think that's a big part of it. Quarterback is a big part, Lamar Jackson, and he makes plays late in games, and we've seen that time and time again. And then they're good, and this plays into the fourth quarter thing, they're good in critical situations. Their defense is 31st in the league against the pass, but number one on third down and number one in the red zone. So, you know, stats can be deceiving, but I think if you're number one in third down and number one in the red zone, that says a lot, and it makes up for some talent deficiencies, some injuries, and some struggles is when you play your best in the biggest moments. And I feel like the Ravens have done that, and the Browns have still been searching to do that.
Can the Browns run all over this team, Scotty, in your opinion?
No. I think there's a chance because the Browns are so good running the ball. And you get Kareem Hunt back and Nick Chubb is healthy. But the Ravens are a top five run defense. And, you know, there's some injuries they have up front, so that could help the Browns. But I don't think it'll be easy. You know, like some teams you go in and you go, okay, the Browns, they're going to dominate this game on the ground. I don't see that. I think the Browns are going to have to make plays through the air. Like I mentioned, the Ravens are 31st against the pass, so there's opportunities there. I think they might have to loosen this defense up and then then hand the ball off, as opposed to saying, okay, we're going to run early, and then throw. I think Kevin Stefanski might have to go the other way this week.
Scotty, do you see a pitch count on Kareem Hunt or no?
I don't. You know, I don't know if he'll get quite the number of carries. You know, like when he and Chubb are both completely healthy, Ben Hunt usually gets some of the, you know, every third series or something like that. Now, maybe they do less of that and give Chubb the bulk of the first and second down carries, and then Kareem will get all the third down opportunities and some, you know, maybe a couple series. So I think it's going to be a pretty big load, maybe not quite as big a load as you have normally, but then I think that's going to follow Nick Chubb, and there's no problem with that.
All right, last thing before we let you go, Scott Petrak, how do you see this one playing out? Sunday night, national TV, 8:20 p.m. right here on WHBC as well.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. It's going to be a good one. I think the Browns really do have a chance to win this game. I have a hard time predicting them to win just because they haven't played great the last couple of weeks. Lamar Jackson's coming back. It's a tough place to play. They're really good in prime time. They're really good at home in prime time. So I'm having a hard time pulling the trigger on a Browns win. So I'm going to go with the close loss, 27-26 Ravens.
All right, one more question. I lied. With that prediction, Scotty Petrak, of a loss, then is it imperative, if this wasn't a must-win game, the next time they play the Ravens, having 2 weeks to prepare for them, it is a must-win game or the season is basically over?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that would put them at 7 losses, right? And maybe 10-7 gets in. I mean, you know, mathematically they'd still be alive, but the schedule's really difficult after that. If you lose your third game inside the division, there's no way you'd win the division. So, yeah, they can do no worse than split with the Ravens. I think that's fair to say for sure.
Scotty, great stuff as always. Thanks for making time for us. We'll talk to you again next week. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, fellas.
There he is, Scott Petrak checking in.